The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. In a lot of religious theology, you have only a physical man. And then they'll say you need to ask Jesus into your heart. So they think there is a spot in man that needs God. A place of residence for God to live. And they call it, because of the scriptural wording, the heart. Well, that gives me a false impression. And it hinders my understanding of how to receive the benefits of heaven. If I think of myself only as a physical being with a spot for God. Now, in the scripture, it talks about the spirit, the soul, and the body. Gives us a very clear picture of God. Now, the physical man, also called flesh, also called members, also called temple in the scripture, is the house of the spiritual man. It's not a spot that needs God. It's a spiritual man, called spirit, called by Paul an inward man. It's not called an inward spot or a heart. It's called by Peter a hidden man. But both scriptures refer to a man. Now, you see the physical man in the mirror. It says the physical man is decaying or perishing. That's quite obvious, is it not? But it says the inward man is renewed. Renewed day by day. In other words, this inward man, this hidden man, is not getting any older. It's getting smarter, but not older. Isn't that good news? Spirit, soul, and body. Now, the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. When you die, your brain is in the grave, but you still have your soul. Is that right or wrong? In heaven, they're thinking. They remember. Sure, they do. Rich man Lazarus died. Rich man remembered his brothers on earth. Said, send someone to my brothers. And so your soul, your mind is still with you, though your brain is missing. Worthy of thought, isn't it? That means we don't have to depend upon the brain. It's only temporary anyway. The soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now, we're not led by our soul. We're led by the Spirit. When we get born again, the Holy Spirit takes residence in the human spirit, in this inward man. And when we die, this inward man simply exits. The book of James says the body without the spirit's dead. So the reason they died is their spirit left. Sometimes the spirit, though, is forced to evacuate because the devil beats the body up. One minister said takes a lead pipe and beats the body till the spirit man can't take residence in there anymore and has to go. Well, we have authority over the works of the enemy. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, and so we can do something about what the devil does to the human body. We can take a stand. But it's the spirit man that has to take a stand. Sometimes we want mama to take a stand, dad take a stand, pastor take a stand. And thank God, if they know God, they can take a stand, come into agreement with us. I love people in agreement with me. I know people who do have strong faith. And if I need some agreement, I know exactly who I'd call. And it's wisdom for everybody to have somebody, a prayer partner, somebody who knows you, who won't let you nosedive. See, when we give way to our soul, we let the old brain power guide our life. We're going to have some wrong thinking and some wrong. You know what wrong thinking brings? Wrong words and wrong experiences. And it's like we can backtrack. Sometimes you backtrack when you lose something. See, where did I lose that? You know, you go back to all the places that you've been to see if you can find something. Sometimes when we have wrong experiences, we can backtrack to what we've said, to what we've been thinking, to know that we've been dominated by our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, the will's a very strong thing, is it not? And medical science say if someone wills to die, you can't keep them alive. If they decide they are going to die, they're likely to die. So the first thing I do with my will is say, in the volume of the book is written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. That's in Hebrews. Words of Jesus. He says, I come to do thy will. And he said, the garden, not my will, but thy will. He surrendered his will. Someone said Jesus didn't have any choice but to do what the Father said. That's not what he said in the garden. He said, I come to do thy will. Thy will, not my will. So he did have. He said, if there's any other way. We know he had some thoughts, but he was surrendered. Now the best thing, when we make Jesus as Lord, we surrender our will, do we not? Don't we? Have you ever dealt with a child or maybe a spouse that's unsurrendered? We call that rebellion, do we not? My, the smartest thing I can ever do for me is to surrender. Now, my vision is very narrow if it depends upon my brain power to figure it out. If I yield to my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, I know I'm going to miss something. I was raised in a very small town. My family is a typical Christian family. And we missed a lot because we didn't have right knowledge. Thank God we did know Jesus was Savior and Lord. I'm so grateful for that. We were raised in that atmosphere. Thank God we were raised to be faithful and committed to the church. We knew what God was doing was first in our life. That's what it means that Jesus is Lord. Now, there isn't any better way to get your healing, to get what you need from heaven, to make Jesus Lord. Now, Jesus is Lord in the spirit. The mind usually says, the soul says, I'll have it my way. Doesn't it? Oh, all kinds of things we say. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I don't have time. It's not convenient. I don't have the skill. I don't have the talent. Get somebody else to do it. And we become soul dominated. Soul domination is a domination of excuses. Isn't it? But in the spirit, this spirit man's been born again. Now, this spirit man was a sinner. It's a man of sin. I was a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's not talking about the Christian. That's talking about the sinner. That's talking about the day before you came to God. You were not righteous. You were not right with God. You were a sinner. But when you came to God, you made him Lord. You surrendered. And when you surrendered, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. This spirit man becomes a new creature. Now, that surrender made an eternal difference. It not only got me ready for heaven, but it gets me ready. If I become spirit-dominated rather than soul-dominated, gets me ready to live successfully on earth, gets me ready to receive all the benefits of heaven. God has great benefits for us. He said in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wouldn't have said that if he hadn't intended to do some things on earth. He said, he that delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? He said, we can have all things pertaining to life and godliness. Now, if I'm to have all things, you know what thing is? You look it up in Webster's, that which can be possessed. In other words, I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have certain possessions, and some will come to me in heaven after I die, but many come to me now. I step by the earnest or down payment of the Spirit into the beginning of the possessions I'll have eternally. It's today. Today's the day of salvation. Now, if God wasn't going to give me things and do things for me, then today's not the day of salvation, because that word salvation means more than new birth. It's a very generic word. You know, when you get a prescription, they ask you, do you want the generic prescription? It's a generic word in that it covers a lot of territory. It means safety. It means protection. It means health. It means healing. It's God's abundance. It's you're an heir of God, and he says, I'll give you every spiritual blessing. Well, certainly health is a spiritual blessing. Now, some said a spiritual blessing is only those immaterial things like joy and peace and love, but that's not true. It's every spiritual blessing is the blessings that the spirit world can bring. A spiritual blessing is what the spirit world can do for you, what God the Father will do for you because you've stepped into the kingdom, because you've surrendered to him. Now, if I go ahead and use my soul, I felt like it, I didn't feel like it, I didn't want to, I wanted to. Use my own warped and twisted thinking. I figure this out, make a list of pros on one side, cons on the other. Let's make a comparison, see if the pros outweigh the cons or vice versa. So we can determine, let's put out a fleece. Let's check and see if God opens any doors. All a product of wrong thinking, and we'll miss God and we won't receive the benefits. You see, we have a specific benefit in this place that we want. We want health and healing, and God wants us to have that. It is His will that I be well, that I be whole. He wants that. He wants that. He wants that. Now, when you go to the doctor, the best thing you can do for yourself is wear your earphones and plug in your music or your favorite teaching tape, because you don't want their thinking to become a product of your thinking. You might wear your sunglasses, too. It wouldn't hurt any. So I see no evil, hear no evil. Because there are a lot of things being said around you that are going to warp and twist your thinking, that are going to cause the soul to become dominant. You don't want your soul to be dominated. You don't want to be dominated by your mind. The mind has to be renewed. Romans 12, 2. It says we're transformed. How? Transformed. Changed. You know, when that worm, the other day I'm going out the driveway and I noticed the tops of two of my azaleas gone. This is that time of year where the worms eat the new growth off the azaleas. Every year about this time, usually a little earlier than this. And so we took out the spray. I believe in feeding those worms. And the new growth was gone, and the worms had done some damage. Well, some damage can be done by the things around me, but I have Holy Ghost spray. I have the Word of Living God. All things, all evil things are under my feet. No weapon formed against me prospers. And I have to be spirit dominated and not soul dominated. Now, I was in the doctor several years back for something. They like to keep track of me. And I'm not very cooperative, and I plan to keep it that way. Don't have to be cooperative. I know the great physician now is here. The sympathizing Jesus, he speaks. I know him. I know him. So I'm moderately cooperative, and I was there, and they wanted run tests. And so I agreed and went run tests. The lady next to me said, "Did you know I'm dying?" Now, how would I have known that? I said, "No, ma'am." So you need to plug in your earphones. Yeah. Keep singing. Pretend like you don't hear them. Why, if I hadn't known God when she got through with me, I'd have shared her disease. I heard one great minister said he was so low, if he had passed a cemetery with an open grave, he'd have crawled in and laid down and say, "Here I am, devil, get me." You ever been that low? See, the body and the mind will not lead you in the right direction. People will put thoughts. The devil will see to it you're surrounded by the ungodly who say, "You ain't got any, you ain't ever had any, nobody's going to give you any, no good thing ever happens to you." So that child will always be in trouble. Whatever it is you don't need to hear in order to encourage your faith, that word will come to you. But if I'm plugged into God, see, Jesus is my Lord. I'm spirit dominated. I'm dominated by His word. I know what He has to say. And I keep His word in my heart. I keep it there by meditation. Meditation simply means to stand in one spot. Find you a scripture, stand in that spot. You don't have to know everything. When you got born again, I didn't know I was getting eternal life. I knew Jesus needed to be in my heart. That's what I knew. Thank God I knew that much. I didn't know I was going to be a new creature. I didn't know eternal life was possessing the nature of God. I didn't know I was spirit, soul, and body. I didn't know the Holy Ghost came to live in the spirit. I knew I invited Jesus in my heart. That's all I knew. And I got saved on that word. And if I have one healing scripture, one financial scripture, one scripture for my children, whatever meets my need, and I stand there. Meditation means to stand there. Now you have to stand there. The word meditate means to murmur, to mutter. It's not a thought process. It's a vocal process by which my mouth opens constantly. Now, two kinds of people have trouble with that. People talk a lot and people don't talk very much. People that talk a lot are so used to saying anything that they want to say that's very difficult for them to constantly speak the word of the living God and not speak the doubt and the discouragement and the dilemma. But it's my soul that wants to say, "How do you feel? You feel awful? You don't look too good." And instantly my spirit, because my spirit is a man, it's a person, it's me. I live in this physical body. This spirit man's going to step out of this body and be with the Lord. And my spirit man says, "We don't feel good. We don't look good." And suddenly my body and my soul is dominant and my spirit doesn't have control. I must have spiritual control. I must have control of my words by the Spirit. Now, people that don't talk very much find it difficult to speak. They want to think thoughts about God. They'll think about a scripture, but don't want to speak it. Now, I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to myself. To meditate is talk to yourself and talk to God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Well, if it doesn't depart out of your mouth, where is it? It's in your mouth. Well, you know, you don't put stuff in your mouth to hold it there, do you? To swallow it, to digest it. Now, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's in Matthew chapter 12. Out of the abundance of the heart. How are you going to get the word of God in abundance? See, every time I speak the word of the living God, I do not speak in agreement with my soul. I speak in agreement with my spirit. My spirit is born again. My spirit is a new creature. I do have eternal life. I am God's joint heir. There are benefits and blessings for me. God does want the will of God done in my life today. Today is the day of salvation, deliverance, and freedom for me. Now, how do I get that? How do I cooperate with this vast plan? You see, heaven has a vast plan, a great plan. How do I cooperate with that plan? First thing I do is to speak that plan with my mouth. And every time I speak the word of the living God, that word goes into my spirit and begins to fill up my spirit until in my spirit I have God's word in great abundance. Now, you know, when you've eaten in great abundance, remember Thanksgiving last year? Wayne's family, the inner core family, it's 40 people. He's from a very large family. That's the great grandparents, the grandparents, the children, and the children's children. That's just the, you know, us four and no more. That's who that is, about 40 of us. And you've never seen so much food. My, 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 my. Wayne's mom is an excellent, excellent cook. She always makes coconut cake, pound cake, pecan pie, pumpkin pie. And then one of the other always likes to bring something new and different. Well, you got to try that because you haven't seen that before. Well, you can't pass up Granny's coconut cake. And Granny makes the best pound cake on the face of the earth. I just say that without apology. That's just the truth of it. Well, you got to have a piece of that. Well, then who could ever pass by chocolate? You got to have some of that. And then there's always bunches of cookies for the children. We have lots of children. Well, have you ever been able to not check out the M&M cookies? Are the cookies with the cute little pumpkin on top? Better have one of those, hadn't we? Abundance, I'm talking about. And then we have the ham, because Granny doesn't like turkey, and dressing, and chicken. And we always have turnip greens or collard greens, and sweet potatoes, and fried okra or steamed okra, and slaw, and a Jell-O mold, and seven-layer salad. I mean, I've been in this family 35 years. I can tell you what's coming. Then we'd have to have the cream corn. And then we always have something unusual that one of the nieces brings. She's somewhat of a gourmet. She experiments, always delicious. Well, and of course, the green beans. Don't forget the green beans. Well, who could pass up the green beans? We have to have a piece of ham, piece of turkey. Well, and collard greens. I mean, because I'm not going to fix those. You got to be kidding. So you better have collard greens, because till the next time Granny fixes them, we won't see those again. But she always fixes chicken and dumplings as well. Well, you got to have some of that. Well, and cream corn. I mean, scraped right off the cob. Homegrown, home scraped. You got to have some of that. Now, what makes you keep eating and keep eating and keep eating? Eating in such abundance. Eating past the point when your belly says, ho! And you don't pay attention. Keep eating. Out of the abundance of the heart. Abundance, abundance. Now, that menu's the same every single year with just a couple of rare exceptions. It's the same every year. It's the same at Christmas as it is at Thanksgiving. It's the same at Easter as it is at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And on Pop-Pop's birthday, it's the same as it was at Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. Well, what makes you keep eating it? It's good. It's good. What does it say about the word of living God? It's sweeter than honey. It's good. Oh, it's good. It's good. And I just keep eating that same thing. Keep eating that same thing. Keep eating that same thing. I heard one lady, she asked her husband, she said, "What do you want for dinner?" And he said, "Vegetables." She said, "Okay, that'd be Morrison's." Well, at our house we cook. And we cook the same thing. Don't you? I'm not much to experiment. I believe in putting on the grill. It's my first method of cooking. Can we grill it? Would be my first question. Because I don't like the smells in my house. And you know, you begin to use your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. You begin to yield your flesh and stuff stinks. It smells. It's not pleasant. But if I begin to speak God's word, I mean that same old word. That's what I want you to get. Same old word. Same old turkey, same old collard greens, same old sweet potatoes with marshmallows on the top. Same old coconut cake, same old pecan pie. And you keep putting it in your heart. And every time you say it, it goes down in the spirit until the spirit man's full. Well, what happens when the spirit man's full of the word of the living God? When he knows God knows God's word. What happens? It comes out of the fullness of your mouth. You speak the word in, but you speak the word out. When you speak the word out, it works for you. That's what that terminology school could mean. You know, you go over it and over it and over it. You go over the times table. How many times did you go over those? I learned those. I learned them with Joel and I learned them with Suzanne. I still remember them. I mean, I'm pretty good. 8 times 7 is 56. 8 times 8 is 64. 6 times 6 is 36. 6 times 4 is 24. Because we went over those and over those and over those and over those. Now, my spelling is not as sharp as my multiplication tables. Why is that? More than once, I have to call my sister as a teacher and say, "How would you spell copacetic? Do you know how to spell that?" I didn't know if it was copacetic, copacetic, cosopetic. I mean, I didn't know what it was. I have to find somebody that knows. We have some great spellers in our family. But anything you know from your heart is because you went over it and over it. Like a recipe. You don't even have to get out the card with all the, you know, I have some cards that have got flour on one corner and egg on the other corner. I mean, really pathetic looking. We don't have to get them out anymore because we've done that over and over and over. And I watch Granny cook and she never measures anything. She doesn't measure her pound cake. I was there when she put the pound cake together, just a handful of flour, this, that, and the other. And she said, "It needs another egg." Well, I looked at it. I said, "Granny, how do you know that needs another egg?" I couldn't tell it needed another egg. I couldn't. She put another egg and she said, "Got to have about two tablespoons of flour." I couldn't tell that at all, but she's done that over and 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 over. And she knows the feel of it, the sense of it. Well, I began to put God's word in my heart. "Thy word have I" what? "Hidden my heart." Now, it's not hidden in there to stay hidden. It's on reserve. It's in waiting for when you need it. And out of the abundance of the heart, every time I speak God's word, I speak it from my heart until my heart is full. Now, look at Matthew 12. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I have God inside. And if I'm God inside minded, if I'm conscious of he who dwells on the inside and I'm conscious of his word and I meditate day and night, I stand on that word. You know, if you're going to fill your car up with gas, depend upon how new the tank, how fast it's going to be, but still going to take some time. Well, if you leave before the time, guess what? You didn't fill your tank up. If you're going to fill it up, you have to take time to fill it up. And that's the way it is with the human spirit. I'm going to put the word of God in my spirit. That word's going to rescue me, save me, deliver me, set me free. I'm going to speak that word. And when I speak that word with Holy Ghost authority, it's going to work mightily in my circumstances. It's going to work in my body, my finances too. It'll work in my children. The word of God will work for you. Now look at Matthew 12. Verse 35, a good man. Well, you're that good man. You're the righteous man. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. And good men, righteous men, men who know God, don't say anything they want to. They don't yield to their soul. They don't yield to their feelings and emotions. It is true that I feel sick. It is true that I look bad. It is true that my toe hurts. It is true that I don't have the money. It is true that my children are rebellious. But if I speak those words, I speak from my soul. I speak from my experiences. I speak from my feelings. Then those words become to dominate me, and the word of God takes second place, and the word of God will not work from second position. You know, the second string football team are not working. They may be cheering. They may be encouraging. But until they're on the field, they're not working. Well, the word of God can't be second string. It's not that I desire to be free. I'm working at freedom. I'm cooperating with heaven. Jesus set me free. Now, what do I do about that? He has benefits for me. He wants his will done in my life. What do I do about that? Well, a good man, the righteous man. See, the day you got born again, you became righteous. Out of the good treasure of his heart. What kind of treasure? Good treasure. Someone told me that they had bought a bunch of prizes for children. And it was like a hallelujah party that we have here. But the children didn't appreciate the prizes. They didn't think they were treasures. You know, times change and children change and desires change. And this year it's a yo-yo or hula hoop. Next year it's something else. Well, the children didn't think those were treasures. But when I read the word of the living God, I know where the treasure is. I know this is a treasure. By his stripes you were healed. That's a treasure. That's a treasure. I just keep putting that in my heart. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm filling my heart up just like pumping gas into the car. My new car, I think it has a 50-gallon tank. I see those numbers going over. I think, oh, my. Such treasure, the word of the living God. You're that good man. You're that righteous man. You're born again. You're God's kind. You're not dominated by the soul, not dominated by the flesh. You're dominated by the spirit. You're putting the word of God in the spirit. You're speaking that word out of the spirit. Why? Because the word out of the spirit brings deliverance and freedom. Out of the good treasure, his heart brings forth good things. You put good things in, you get good things out. You put water in that tank or gas mixed with water, guess what you get? Spitting and sputtering, and you may come to a complete halt. Because you didn't put good things in. Now, the baby Christian's not knowledgeable always of what's good. You may not know that that gas had some water in it. But we who are growing in God, who can read and who listen very carefully, know that there's some good treasure and some bad treasure. There's some good things and some things that won't profit. Well, I choose the things that'll profit, and the word of living God always profits. It says the word works mightily. You know it's not automatic. Your car's not running just because it's a car and it's supposed to run. It's running because you take care of it. It's running because you put gas in it. It's running because you keep air in the tires. Oil where oil's supposed to be. Tell what I know about cars. And when some bad treasure comes along, I took our car for an oil change. It's one of my favorite things to do. I do that because Wayne works long hours. He doesn't have time. And so I'm there, and they changed the oil and did what they were supposed to do. And the man said, you need this, this, and this done. It was quite a... I said, how much that cost me? And he told several hundred dollars. Well, I thought to myself, that cannot be right. I'm just checking my heart. That didn't seem right to me. So I said, well, I should check with my husband. I'll get back to you. I went right down to the next place and said, would you check my so-and-so, see if anything needs to be done? He checked it, and he said, oh, it's perfect. Nothing wrong with it. Not even any rust on it. I thought, that's what I thought. That man's trying to talk me into bad treasure. But see, if I'm alert in the spirit, you're not going to put bad words in my ears. You're not going to tell me I'm going to die. I may be looking at you, but I'm not listening. I say, no, Scripture said, I live and not die and declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Scripture says, by His stripes I was healed. Scripture says, no weapon formed against me prosper. Scripture says, He sent His word and healed me. Good treasure. Good word. Keep it in the heart. Keep it in your mouth. It won't work because it's in your heart. Did you know that? It won't work just because you put it in your heart. It only works when it's in your heart and comes out your mouth. Now, you can't become a born again, you can't become a Christian without confession that Jesus is Lord. And it says, as a man believes in his heart and says with his mouth. And you've got to say, I take Jesus. I take Him, I accept Him. And it's the same with anything you need from God. You find it in the Word, you put it in your heart. Just keep talking to yourself. Talking to yourself, saying, thank God by His stripes I was healed. I'm so glad I was healed. I'm so glad I was healed. Now my body says you're not healed, but I'm not soul dominated, not body dominated. I'm spirit dominated. The Spirit of the living God, the Word of the living God often contradicts what my mind and my soul and my flesh is saying. Well, if I was desperate for money and I went to the bank and they said, we won't loan you any money. If I let His Word dominate me, I go home in failure and defeat. I go home with great lack. But I said, no, there's somebody here that loaned me some money. And I don't let His words affect me. I don't let them discourage me. I said, no, somebody has loaned me some money. See, my body says, you're not healed. My heart says, by His stripes, you were healed. And I have a choice. Who am I going to believe? What treasure do you want? Good treasure. Good man. Good man. Righteous men put good treasure. They choose the word of the living God. They talk to themselves. Years ago, we did, you know, we do unusual things. You know that. You've been around here. And I said, everybody that paces and prays should sit and pray today. I said it by inspiration of the Spirit. If you're one who moves and prays, don't move. If you're one who always sits and prays, I want you to move constantly. I want you to walk. I want you to pace. Even if you have to, because people who sit usually, well, anyway, I said, even if you have to sit, pace in the back in the corner in the dark, you know, but move, keep moving. Well, one lady was so precious, she came to me later. She said, I've never done anything that hard in my entire life. Because she's very quiet, very reserved, never said anything, came, sat in the back, left when it was over, week after week. See, we get used to making a non-commitment. Being a non-participant. But if I want God's best, I have to be a participant. And the first thing I'm supposed to do is to put the treasure in the heart. Speak it in, speak it out. Speak it in. Now, when you put food in your belly, it's not supposed to sit in your belly. It's supposed to be distributed. And the Word of God is distributed. Well, it's distributed with the words of my mouth. Now, this scripture said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, a good man out of the good treasure's heart brings forth. What does brings forth mean? Or we might say speaks forth. Verse 37, by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words, not by thy thoughts. Not even by your intents or purposes, but by your what? By your what?
Words.
Now, look over at Proverbs. In other words, pick words and speak words. Speak good words. Put good treasure in your heart. Proverbs chapter 8. When we bless the Lord with all our soul, we're speaking words from our heart, speaking words to heaven from our heart. Tell Him how much we love Him, how much we appreciate His death and resurrection. We're so glad for the benefits He's given us. 8:6. Hear, for I will speak. Hear, for I will speak. The purpose of hearing is to speak. The purpose of hearing is to have knowledge, have right information, and be able to what? Speak. I will speak of excellent things. The opening of my lips shall be right things. Well, that means I've put good treasure in my heart, doesn't it? That word excellent is the word prince or noble. I like that. I will speak princely things. Translators say I will speak noble. Well, are you a king's kid? I can tell by the smile on your face, I'm a king's kid. See, my flesh reflects my heart. reflects my spirit. Spirit dominated, spirit controlled, spirit led. My words, Jesus said, are spirit. They're not simply for the mind, they're for the spirit. And they come out of the spirit. And you can receive victory with your mind saying, it's not working, it's not working, it's not working. And you can still have victory with your mind telling you it's not working. Because God's words are spirit. They go into the human spirit. You speak them in, you speak them out. You're not soul dominated. You're not emotionally controlled. Right? Are you emotionally controlled?
No.
Are you mentally controlled?
No.
Spirit. Oh, I'm so glad. Because that's where God is. He's in the spirit. He's in my spirit. Try to do this from your mind, and your mind is without God. Oh, how hard could that be? How discouraging could that be? No, it's a spirit word. Good treasure of the spirit. Good words of the spirit. The abundance of the spirit. The abundance of the heart. Now it says, I'll speak princely, excellent, noble things. Well, how does a prince speak?
Decrees.
He decrees. They say, you over here and you over there, and bring me and send that, do this. Princes decree. And you'll find that in verse 15. Kings reign, princes decree justice. Well, what is justice? See, Jesus came to bring justice. He died to bring justice. He took the condemnation that we could have the benefits of heaven. And he said, now decree that. In other words, say that with your mouth. Princes always say what God is saying. The opening of my lips shall be what? Right things. That means I'm going to have to speak words from the word. Because it's not right that I should die young. Is it?
No.
It's not right that I should live my life in poor health. It's not right that I should live without my needs provided. When God said he'd provide my need. Well, how are you going to correct that, change that? So it says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging bread. How are we going to see to it that we don't have to beg for bread when God said, I don't want you begging for bread? You put that in your spirit. You take that right word. It says, speak an excellent word. Speak a prince word. Decree like a noble. And say, I am the righteous. And I'm not forsaken. And I'm not begging bread. And you speak it right from your heart. You speak it from your spirit. Say, I live and not die. I will declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Speak it. Speak like a prince. You know it says Jesus is the King of Kings. When they interpret for the deaf, they say the King over kings. And I like that. The King over kings. Well, who's the King? Jesus. Who are the kings that he's over? You and I said we're kings and priests unto God. Well, kings what? They decree. They speak. What kind of words? Excellent words. Words of the King. Words of the King. Words of the King. See, well, they'll think I'm crazy. They already know you're crazy. My, speak like a nobleman. That's who you are. Speak like the righteous. That's who you are. Verse 7, my mouth shall speak the truth. What is the truth? God's word is truth. What sets you free? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no truth but that which he imparts to us. And he said, if I continue in his word, I'll know the truth, and what'll happen? What's going to set me free? The truth. And my body says, you're dying, but what does my spirit say? By his stripes, we were healed. Speak the truth. Speak of God. Speak his word. Speak like a king. Throw your head back and say, so glad to be healed. Somebody said, what if I say that and I die? I told you many times you've been here, you've heard this. I borrowed it from somebody else. It really set me free. At least you died trying. Said, you'd want to get to heaven, God'd say, I never seen such poor effort. You didn't read. You didn't speak. You just sat down and died. No, I wanted to say, I've never seen anybody work as hard as you did. to meditate in my word and to grasp the things of the Spirit of God. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and faithful to his word, faithful to the Spirit, faithful to the knowledge that I had. At least do that much. At least do that much. Well, so speak the truth. Why? Because a lie is not going to set you free. Half-truth's not going to set you free. How you feel about it, what's reasonable and logical, is not going to set you free. You know how unreasonable God is? You throw somebody in the lion's den, we would think to get the troops together and storm the palace, and God says, no. We'll just shut the mouths of the lions. How unreasonable is it to put a man over 100 years in the desert, building a boat for a flood when it had never rained upon the earth? You try to follow God with your soul, with logic, with reason, you're going to miss everything. Well, who would take a 90-year-old woman, 100-year-old man, and give them a child that's going to be the father of our faith for the next millenniums of time? Thy will be done on earth. Let's find the will. Find the will. What's his will? Then say that. You are the righteousness. Speak that truth. Don't speak from the mind. Don't speak from reason. I know logically you're going to die, but we're not products of logic. We're supernatural. I know it's reasonable that a person in your condition would die, but we're not moved by reason and logic. All my words, the words of my mouth, verse 8, are in righteousness. Nothing forward or perverse. Forward or perverse are crooked and twisted words, half-truth, sort of truth, almost truth, outright lies. It's like a warped record, that word. You put a record that's got a scratch or a warp on it, you get some good sound, some bad sound, it comes to that same spot and it goes, you know, before it gets back to normal sound. And it says the Christian never speaks twisted words. Never speaks words that are warped and twisted and crooked. They speak truth. They speak righteousness. They speak nobly. They speak like kings. Well, aren't you glad for repentance? I am. My husband and I used to help one another. When we first came into Pentecost, we didn't know words were important. I didn't have a clue. And so we're trying to say the right thing. Now, it isn't in our heart because we haven't had time to put it in our heart. We're doing this with my mind, I'm going to say the right thing. Almost impossible. So you take time every day and put something in your heart. And then speak that. If you just have one thing in your heart, you're benefited. Well, we'd say the wrong thing, and he'd say to me, would you like to say that differently? And I'd say, yes, I would like to say that a little differently. And then I'd say, now, how was I supposed to say that? Because it's not a mental, I'm a supernatural, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm a king's kid, I've been bought with a price. My spirit is a new creature in Christ Jesus. God is my father, Jesus is my elder brother. I'm walking in the light, not in the dark. I have the benefits of heaven right here on the earth. Today's the day of those benefits. Today's the day of my salvation. Now say so. Just say so. Say so. Well, here's what I do. Because words are so important. I go through the book of Proverbs, every Bible I get, and all that says about words and the lips and tongues, I mark in yellow. So every now and then, I just think, my, I need to work on my mouth again. You notice how that comes up quite regularly? Just said, oh boy, can't believe I said that. And I take these verses and I read them again. I got them in yellow, so don't have to hunt them. Don't have to look them up. Do this in every Bible. Now turn over chapter 10. Let's read another couple before we quit. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Is what? Now, who's the well for? You don't put a well in your yard for the neighbors. You might share with the neighbors, but you put that well there for you, do you not? And what the righteous do, they always speak of life. Not death, life. 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 A well of life. You remember Jesus goes to the woman at the well? Offers her living water. And he said, there'll be a well of water in you. A well of water where? There's a well of water in me. There's life-giving words in me. I've meditated, I've quoted, I've put those words in me. And I speak out of that well. I draw water from that well. well of life. The 26th translation says, the talk of a good man is life-giving. The talk of a good man is what? Life-giving. Well of life. Well, look at verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wants not sin. In other words, you just are blabbermouth. Going to make some mistakes. He that refrains his lips is wise. In other words, I'm going to refrain. One translation says, shut up. Means there are some things I'm not going to say. Now, you might think a curse word. You will if you live life very long. If you don't, you're the only one, I guess. But you're not going to say it. Are you? There's some things that we don't say. We don't speak words of death, words of condemnation. We don't speak lies. We don't speak anything that's like that record, warped and twisted and roar, roar. And a lot of times our mouth is like a record with a scratch. I'm going to die, 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 I'm going to die. We get on that scratch. We don't have any, 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 don't have any. And somebody hollers, move that needle on that record. You remember those days? Everybody remembers. We get our mouth in a wrong groove. We speak death. We speak destruction. Warped, twisted. But the mouth of the righteous is what? Life-giving. Is what? Life-giving. Now what happens? Somebody's speaking to you and they're not bringing life. I say, I got to go. See you later. Yeah. Much later. Next year. Said, you can't do that to your friends. Watch me. I know a lady kept her son alive. She refused to let any family member see him. He was in an automobile accident. She stood at the door night and day and guarded him. Nobody got in. Because she knew they'd take a look at him and say, he's going to die. Poor thing, he's going to die. She wouldn't let him in. So I said, you can't refuse to let your family in. He's alive today because she did. I was there. I got in. I went in. They combed his hair every morning. Told him what God was saying. Said, my, you're looking good. And the word is working and your body is amending because Jesus the healer is here. But a lot of people didn't get in. Now, if I'm really desperately ill, I have to guard my spirit from those warped and twisted words. People who speak from the soul and the flesh and the emotions, people who speak reason and logic, I can't company with them for now. And if it makes them mad, I'm sorry. But I want to live. I don't want to die. Verse 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, what's found? Wisdom. Wisdom is found. Where is wisdom? It says, Jesus has made unto us wisdom. Jesus is found in my mouth. Verse 31 agrees, the mouth of the just brings forth what? And then it gives us wonderful advice. The froward tongue, that's the warped and twisted, shall be cut out. The translators say shall be eliminated or shall be silenced. Who's going to silence the froward tongue? You are. Now, if you're not going to speak words of life, the words of the just are words of wisdom, words that are what? Life-bringing. If you're not going to speak words of life, froward and perverse words, twisted words, should be what? Cut out, eliminated, silenced. Don't say it. Don't say it. Why? Because you want to live, don't you? You want to do well. Well, we could go on and on. Proverbs is wonderful. I love these mouth scriptures. Years ago, I called a lady and I said, "What you doing?" And she said, "Oh, I was just talking about my children." She said, "My husband says that our son will end up in jail. And I'm saying he'll serve God. He'll turn from his wicked ways and walk in the house of God." And then the husband would pipe up and say, "Oh, he will not. You know the boy's going to end up in jail." Well, that's the way it looked. If you go by his track record, he'd done everything he could to end up in jail. Already done it. Already tried to end up in jail. She kept saying, "No, he's going to serve God. All the days of his life's going to turn from his wicked ways." Her words were what? Life. Life. Bring life. Bring truth. Speak nobly. Speak like a king's kid. Begin to decree. Begin to say. Put good treasure in. Guess what? Speak it out. So, but they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it because they don't understand it. So there are times that you would not be obnoxious, right? We don't believe in being obnoxious, being unkind, rubbing salt in open wounds, so to speak. But you just keep saying it. You just keep getting well. Then they'll be good listeners. You can give them your testimony. Is that right? How are you going to get the benefits of heaven? Speaking words of life. Well of life. Well of life. Well of life. Spring up, oh well. Yeah, spring up, oh well. Jesus said, it'll be in her a well of water springing up. And when it begins to spring up, you begin to speak those life-giving words. And though you may not feel or sense anything, your body begins to shift. Your words will change your body. For good or for bad. Oh, I'm so glad, aren't you? Now pleasing him pleases me. What would please him?
Words of life.
Words of life. Now what do you do if you've been saying the wrong thing a long time? Just repent and start over. Just repent. Have to do that every now and then. I would say, "She made me so mad. You know what she did? Did y'all see that?" And I would say, "Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Excuse me, Father." Start over. See, I speak words of life.
I speak words of life.
When I'm tempted to speak words of death and destruction,
when I'm tempted to speak words,
I silence those words.
I cut off those words.
I refuse warped, twisted words.
I refuse warped, twisted words.
I'm not like a scratched record.
I'm not like a scratched record.
Speaking constantly wrong things.
Speaking constantly wrong things.
I'm a child of truth.
Child.
God is my Father.
I'm
a king's kid.
I'm a king's.
I decree life-giving words.
I decree life-giving words.
My spirit is a well of right words. A well of acceptable words.
A well of
pleasing words. And those words make a difference.
And those words,
they're making a difference right now.
They're making a difference right now.
They're making a difference right now.
Difference right,
right, now.
Right now.
My words,
which are God's words,
are making a big difference.
See,
so I speak right words.
Because right words
bring life. And I need life.
Right words
are a well of life.
Well of life.
So I plant good treasure.
I know where to find good treasure.
It's in the Word.
It's my treasure.
It goes in my well.
My,
every now and then we just have to have a time to get our mouth straightened out. Have you noticed that? Now, what do you do if you've been saying the wrong thing a long time? Just repent and start over. Just repent. Have to do that every now and then. I would say, "She made me so mad. You know what she did? Did y'all see that?" And I would say, "Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Excuse me, Father." Start over. See, I speak words of life.
I speak words of life.
When I'm tempted to speak words of death and destruction,
when I'm tempted to speak words,
I silence those words.
I
cut off those words.
I refuse warped, twisted words.
I'm not like a scratched record.
Speaking constantly wrong things.
I'm a child of truth.
God is my father.
I'm a king's kid.
I decree.
I decree life-giving words.
I decree life-giving.
My spirit is a well of right words.
My spirit is a well of right words.
A well of acceptable words.
A well of acceptable.
A well of pleasing words. And those words make a difference.
And those words,
they're making a difference right now.
They're making a difference right now.
They're making a difference right now.
They're making a difference right,
right now.
Right now.
My words, which are God's words, are making a big difference. Every now and then we just have to have a time to get our mouth straightened out. You notice that?